welcome to installment 264 of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. Today we will once again discuss positive commandment number 245, the law regulating all financial transfers, such as acquisition, selling, and buying.
As we discussed in yesterday's portion, this law governing buying and selling applies specifically to the act of kinyan, which are valid acts of acquisition to finalize a deal, an agreement between a buyer and a seller. Since we discussed it at some length yesterday, we will discuss it more briefly today and expand more upon the idea behind the mitzvah. The Rambam tells us that there is a difference between different types of objects which are being bought, specifically between land and other unmovable objects, as opposed to metaltalin, objects which can be moved. The Rambam first discusses those things which can be moved, and tells us that by biblical decree, money would be good enough to achieve the act of kinyan, the final acquisition. However, our sages came along and decreed that the object should be moved, meshicha, that it should be physically moved in order to finalize the deal. And as explained in the Talmud, what is the reason they established such a thing? That in order to assure the safety of the object, that should the money be given to the seller, and he has it in his house, and for example a fire should break out, since he already has the money and has already technically sold the object, then he perhaps would not care as much about saving another person's object as he would his own, and therefore he will not attempt to save this object which he has sold. He already has the money, and the buyer cannot claim the money back from him. It's his responsibility. Therefore, our sages established that until the object is moved, it still belongs to the seller. Even though the complete value has been given to the seller, unless the buyer has moved it, meshicha, or literally pulled it, it still belongs to the seller. And this will accomplish that the seller will care more for the safety of the object. This is, however, by rabbinic decree only. And the Rambam tells us that the other forms of acquisition mentioned, such as hagbah, lifting up the object, and mesida, telling the buyer to take control of the object, or when the buyer takes control physically of the object in the presence of the seller, any of these are also acts of acquisition by rabbinic decree. The Rambam then proves, by bringing a Talmudic quotation, that this is only by rabbinic law, even though he quotes the biblical verse from the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, verse 14. V'chisimkuru mimkar lamisecha, when you sell something to another, aikone miyada misecha, or buy something literally from the hand of another. And as the Rambam tells us, that if you take it from his hand, this means you must physically take it from his hand, that the acquisition means that you have physically moved it. And this is stated in the Chumash. However, the Rambam says that this is only like a hint, that it doesn't mean that by biblical requirement one must move the object. Biblically, it would be enough to give money. But the sages came along and decreed that there should be an additional step in order to finalize the deal. And he quotes the Talmud, which states, just as our sages required meshicha, moving the object, in a case of buying, so too in the case of a shemer, someone who is watching an object and caring for it in the other person's absence, when does it come into his possession that he is considered responsible for it? Only after he has moved it. And a verbal declaration that he's going to watch the object is not enough to bring it within his possession. What do we see from this Talmudic statement? The Talmud says that just as our sages required meshicha, we see then that our sages were the one that said the object has to be moved. But by biblical decree, by biblical law, money would be enough. As we discussed yesterday, however, should someone give money for an object, and later on want to back out, he is allowed to back out, since the rabbinic requirement has not been fulfilled. However, he is required to come to Beis Din, to the Jewish court, and accept the Jewish court's curse, cursing someone who does not stand up to his word after he has given money. There is another general category of acquisition, applying to acquiring land. And this, the Rambam tells us, is strictly of biblical origin. And there are verses to back up the various forms of acquisition. The Rambam mentions shtar, a document, that in order to acquire land, if one would make out a document saying that he is buying, or rather the seller makes one saying that he has sold it, this would be a sufficient form of acquisition. And after the document has been properly made out, this itself would be enough to bring the land into the ownership of the buyer. And so too chazaka, if the buyer does an act which shows clearly that he has gained possession of it, such as putting a fence up in the field or making a major improvement on a house, in any of these cases, by biblical law, we will see that the house or the land has been sold from that moment. The Rambam does not mention a third form, kesef, that by biblical law, money is good enough in order to acquire a house. The details of this law are discussed in the first chapter of Kiddushin, the fourth and eighth chapters of Baba Metzia, and chapters 3-7 of Baba Basra. The Talmud makes an interesting statement regarding the laws of acquisition, and in general about a person who makes his livelihood through buying or selling. The Talmud says that if a person first has to spend money in order to make money, he must buy, for example, something at wholesale and later on sell it. Let's say the person buys something for a certain price and then sells it at the same price. He will not make any money. And this, the Talmud tells us, is not a businessman. That's not called business. Business is when you buy it at one price and sell it at a higher price to make a profit. Otherwise, this is not business whatsoever. And explains in Chassidus that this idea of business is true in spiritual things as well. In this case, who is the businessman? The businessman is the neshama, the Jewish soul. That as it was above, it was perfectly happy before it came down. As we know that the neshama, the Jewish soul, is something which lives eternally. It has lived before it ever came down to be united with a body, and it exists after the body has died. This soul, before it came into the body, was in Gan Eden, in a heavenly world, where it enjoyed all spiritual things and had a superior form of consciousness and awareness. And over there, it had revealed godliness and no troubles. Its day-to-day activity consisted of going higher and higher in spiritual matters and greater understanding and apprehension of God. So what happens? The soul will come down here to the world, and then later, after its 120 years or so, return to the place where it came from. But what kind of business is that? If it just goes back to the same place it came from, it will have gained nothing. It will have bought at one price, sold it for the same price, it was holding at a certain level in Gan Eden, come down to the world, and then go back to the same place in Gan Eden. That doesn't make sense. That's not business. And Chassidus explains that that is true. And really, the neshama is a businessman. And it does gain something. That it is yirida tzarech aliyah. That the descent was necessary, but for a later ascent. That after the soul has finished its work here in this world, it will come to a place in Gan Eden higher than where it was before it descended. It will not only go to the same place it was, it will actually go much, much higher. And in fact, this yirida, this descent, was tzarech aliyah. It was necessary to get this ascent later on, without coming down here to this world. It would be impossible for the soul, as it is above, to go and reach this tremendously high level, which it attains after having lived down in the physical world. What happens in the physical world, which merits the soul to come to such a high level? This is the performance of physical mitzvahs and living a life of Torah. That the soul, as it is above, can learn things about the Torah, and even learns in a superior way than as we are capable of doing down here. However, only in a physical body is it capable of performing and fulfilling the physical commandments, to take a physical lulav and esrog and shake it, and to put a physical mezuzah on the door and tefillin on the arm. These are commandments which are possible only through a body, a soul which has been united with the body, which can work with the physical world and elevate it and bring it to holiness. And the soul which has carried out this task assigned to it by Hashem is rewarded, and it itself gains some of the holiness which has been brought down to the world through the mitzvah, and it will come to a very, very high level, much higher than it could have achieved without having this purifying effect of the physical world. Therefore, this neshama does do business. It is selling at a much higher price. In exchange for it coming down to the world, it will get an incredible elevation later on. Thank you for tuning in to Sefer Mitzvahs, a project of Sichos in English. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichos in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.